God bless you, buddy.
Thanks. It's an honor to be here with you and to bring God's word to you this morning. As Pastor John said, my title is Transitional Lead Pastor. We're still trying to learn exactly what that means. What I was told it meant is that Pastor John, after 30 years of fruitful ministry here, building this church, the Holy Spirit working through him to bless you and bless me and bless this community, to build God's kingdom here on Ox Road and before this in Cross Point and before that at Silverbrook Elementary, that next June 2022, Pastor John has announced he's going to be retiring. And so the denomination and Pastor John asked if I would come and kind of shadow with him, try to learn as much of the 30 years of history and experience and knowledge that he has. He's been like a mentor to me for years already, but this year of trying to soak in everything that he knows and what God is doing in this community, and then if everything works out the way that we expect God will work, next year I'll become your lead pastor. It's such an honor to be here, such an honor to serve in this role, and this is my second stint here at Christ Church. I was here from 2003 to 2007, served as your associate pastor. I tell people all the time that that was some of the funnest and most fruitful years of my ministry. Just loved being here. And so when God opened the door for me to come back, it felt like a great honor. I've spent the last 12 years planting a church on Gallows Road in Dunloring, Vienna Falls Church area, and had a great time there as well, but excited to be here. It's been great to see a lot of you all that I know, see some old friends, make some new friends. I'm looking forward to, as people come back into worship in person, getting to know many of you and folks online as we interact over the app and the website and the midday prayer. It's great to see what God's been doing here while I've been away. As Pastor John said, we are in the second week of a sermon series that we are calling Running from God. Before I get to that, let me introduce my family. My wife, Margaret's back here. My daughter, Anna, and my son, Josiah. Abby's going to be at the second service. Margaret and I have been married 29 years. Anna just recently graduated from Wheaton College and is starting a job tomorrow in Chicago. So we're praying she makes it back in time. She'll be leaving right after the service. Pray for her. And Josiah is going to be a senior at Marshall High School. Abby is going into her third year at University of Virginia. We live right over by Sangster Elementary, and looking forward to having you guys over the house and doing things with you in the community. All right, great. That's all the commercial. Like, you guys want to stand? Did you guys stand? I can't hardly see you, but that's Margaret, Josiah, and Anna. Josiah was baptized at Christ Church in 2003, born here. Last time we were here, the girls also and Josiah all went to Green Tree preschool, and man, have great memories. Excited to be back. Second week of a sermon series that we're calling Running from God. In this sermon series, we are studying through Jonah and thinking about the fact that all of us at some point in our lives run from God, right? That all of us have been on that path away from God at some point in our lives. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. All of us have run at some point in our lives. But the good news of the gospel and the good news of the book of Jonah is that no matter how far we run, how low we go in life, that we can never outrun God. That the God's grace and God's salvation and God's pursuit and love for us is always there, that we can be in the bottom of an ocean or in the belly of a whale, but we can never outrun God's grace. And so I want you to think about that this morning. When have you run from God? Has there been a time in your life when you have run away from God? When I've been thinking about this, as we've been going through this series, talking about this in our midday prayer meetings, I think there are different ways that we run from God. The most obvious, probably, is the one you think of when you think of Jonah. That is that we run from God's call on our lives. We know God wants us to go there, but we want to go over there, right? We know God wants us to leave this home or this job or this relationship and start fresh over here, but we don't want to. Or we know God wants to stay here, but we want to go there. And so the most obvious way of running from God is that we run from God's call on our lives. You may know in your heart And God wants you to volunteer to serve on the ministry up on stage or serve on the tech team or serve in the kids ministry or serve in the youth ministry, but you don't want to do it, right? You like being able to sleep in on Sunday morning. You enjoy being able to get up and turn on the computer and watch worship there. And you know God's calling you, saying, I want you here, but you don't want to do it. All of us at some point in our lives probably run from God in that way. There's other ways that we run from God. One way is that we run from God's righteousness, his holiness, his will for our lives. We know God wants us to live a certain way, not to do these things or to do these things, but we like the way that we do it. And so we, in some small area of our lives, choose to run from God. And then, of course, I think sometimes we run from God and we don't even know it. Sometimes we're in a pursuit in life, a path in life, and it's only when that storm of life hits us that we realize, oh, I've been running from God. The sailors that Pastor John told us about last week in Jonah chapter 1, in a sense, they were running from God. They were accomplices in Jonah's running, and yet they didn't even know it. And then the storm hit them, and they started crying out to their gods. That did nothing. And then they woke up Jonah, and they asked Jonah to cry out to his God, and Jonah told him who he was and where he was going, and they realized they'd been running from God. Sometimes that happens in our lives. We're just moving along, going on, and then the storms of life hit us, and we say, oh, God, was I going in the wrong direction? The good news is, no matter how far we run from God, we can never outrun God and God's grace in our lives. Running from God is not unique. It's kind of a universal theme, even in Scripture. You think about Moses in the Old Testament. Moses saw a burning bush. Moses heard the voice of God telling him, I want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to be my spokesperson. I want you to be a savior to my people. I want you to announce my message to Pharaoh and set my people free. And remember what Jonah said? Can I introduce you to my brother, right? Aaron, he's much better than me. So sometimes you see this theme throughout Scripture. You think of King Saul, the first king in the Old Testament. God told Samuel, the prophet, to anoint King Saul to be king over Israel. And King Saul, we're told, slept in the luggage, hid himself in the luggage, didn't want to answer that call. Or you think about Paul, the Apostle Paul, Saul in the New Testament, running from God as a persecutor of the church, as the one who oversaw the martyrdom and murder of the disciple, Stephen, of the one who was the pursuer of Christians. He didn't even know he was running from God, and then he saw Jesus, and he realized that. And so if you've ever run from God, you're not alone, and maybe the most famous runner from God is Jonah, this Old Testament prophet. Last week, Pastor John introduced us to him. Jonah 1:1-2. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah's job was to listen to God and announce God's message. Jonah did this for a living. He wasn't a novice at this. It's not like he didn't know who was speaking to him or what God wanted him to do, but Jonah didn't want to do that. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. If you look on the map, we've got a map here for you. Jonah was from Gath Hepher. That's a town in Galilee. Jesus was from Galilee. This is the 8th century BC. This is about 775 to 750 BC. At this time, you may remember, the nation of Israel was divided into two nations, the 10 northern tribes, which we call Israel, or sometimes the scripture calls them Ephraim, or sometimes they're referred to as Samaria, because Samaria is their capital. Jonah was a citizen, a resident of that area. And then the southern tribes of Judah, Jerusalem. So Jonah was up here in Gath Hepher. He got the call from God to go up to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. At this time, in the late 8th century BC, the Assyrian Empire was the most powerful empire in the ancient Near East. It had conquered the Syrian Empire in this area where Damascus is. It was now pressing against Israel, and in fact, in 722 BC, the Assyrian Empire destroyed the northern tribes of Israel and carried their people off. Israel's arch enemy at this time in their existence was the Assyrians. And those were the very people that God said to Jonah, I want you to go and announce my good news, offer my salvation, proclaim my righteousness to the Ninevites. And Jonah didn't want to go. The reason he didn't want to go is because he hated these people. These people had hurt Israel, harmed Israel, attacked Israel, killed members of Israel. And the last thing he wanted to do is go and tell them about God's righteousness, because he knew that the Ninevites, if they repented, God would forgive them. And so Jonah went down to Joppa, the port city, and sailed all the way. He was on his way to Tarshish, which was Spain, when his running from God got interrupted. It says in verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Oh, I just want you to notice that when you run from God, you're going down. This is geographically true in our story. Jonah would have gone up to Nineveh, but he went down to Joppa, down into a boat, down. You see it in verse 5. In verse 5 it says, but Jonah had gone below the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen asleep. Fallen sound asleep. And then in verse 15 it says, so they picked up Jonah, this is when the storm hit, threw him down into the sea, and the sea became quiet. The first thing I want you to see, and this is kind of a review of what John brought us through last week, is that when we run from God, our lives are in descent. When we run from God, and that's the theme that you see in chapter 1, this down, 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 it's geographically or physically true of Jonah, but it's also a metaphor for our lives, that when we run from God, our lives are in descent. This is the first Roman numeral in your sermon notes, and maybe you've experienced that in your life. That running from God, which feels like life is getting a lot harder. You ever felt like that? To me, I equate it to in my life when I feel like I'm running into a headwind. You know that feeling? You're out there running, and you run into a headwind, and it just feels like it's so hard to get any progress. Because spiritually, you're running against God. God created us, has this wonderful plan for our life, knows us better than anyone, knows where God wants us to go and how God wants to bless us. And when we run against that, it's like a headwind. When I go out for a run early in the morning, sometimes this happens to me. Since I've been here, I've been running on the South Run Trail up to the Burke Lake and then turning around and going back. Sometimes when I'm out for a run in the morning, there'll be a wind at my back and I won't even notice it. And I'll be out there, and my times will look really good, and I'll feel strong, and I'm running like a 7-minute mile, and I feel like it's happening, you know. I'm really doing this, you know. And then I'll get to the end point, and I'll turn around, and I'll realize, oh, there was a wind at my back, and now I'm struggling, fighting to get home. And sometimes I think running from God feels like that. It certainly takes us down spiritually. Sometimes it takes us down financially. Sometimes it takes us down relationally. We're running from God and it just seems like everything's getting tougher, everything's getting hard. Sometimes it takes us down vocationally. That's true of Jonah. I mean, his vocation was being a prophet from God. How much prophecy is he doing on the ship, right? Going towards Tarshish. But always it takes us down spiritually. Running from God. And so the main idea here is that no matter how far we run from God, we can never outrun God. No matter how far we run from God, we can never outrun God. Jonah started in Galilee, Gath-Hepher, as a prophet from God, went down to Joppa, went down into a ship, went down to the hold of the ship, went down into the sea, went down into the belly of the fish. That's what we call hitting bottom. He hit the bottom with a thud. He couldn't get any lower than that. That's as low as it goes, the belly of a fish. I've never been in the belly of a fish or the mouth of a fish. I've caught fish, and I know the outside of the fish is not the most pleasant thing in the world, right? Just the outside of the fish is slimy and gross and smelly. I can imagine what it is on the inside. And there at the very lowest point of life, at the very lowest point of life, Jonah did something right. And that's what chapter 2 is about. Jonah cried out to God. And so I want to share with you this morning from chapter 2, how do we respond when our lives hit bottom? How do we respond when we've been running from God, but we come to that point in our lives where we realize we need God? How do we respond when we know we're not getting out of this, right? We're at the bottom of the ocean. We're at the bottom of the fish's belly. We're as low as we can go. Let me read it for you. Jonah 2, 1 through 10. It says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish. He said, 'I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me.'" By the way, I'll just, if you've got your sermon notes, this is actually a poem. It's set in verse, and you'll see all those capitals. I just smushed it together so it would fit in the sermon notes. But this is his poetic prayer to the Lord. I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Can you imagine? Expelled from God's sight. Nevertheless, Jonah says, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. You can't get any lower than that. The earth with its bars was all around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. And then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Three things Jonah helps us to see in chapter 2. Three ways of responding when we hit the bottom in life. Three ways of responding when we know we've been running from God. Three ways of responding when we know that we're not in the center of where God wants us, but we haven't lost sight of this fact that God's grace is still toward us. And that's number one, ask for help. This is letter A on your sermon notes. Ask for help. Cry out to God. In verse 1, again, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. In verse 7, it says, while I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers came up to you into your holy temple. Jonah was as low as a human being can get. But from that place at the bottom, he looked up and he remembered the Lord and he sought the Lord's help. He cried out to God. He asked for help. He focused his prayer on God. He knew that he wasn't in Israel anymore. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't in the temple. He had run from God, but he knew that God was still there and that he could still cry out to God, and that God would still hear his prayer, and that God would help him. Do you know that? When you hit bottom in life, when everything's going the wrong way, when you think, I'm never getting out of this, when your marriage is falling apart, or your kids are going the wrong direction in life, or you hit a financial obstacle in life, and it just seems like you're never going to get out of this, do you know that God is there with you? From the belly of that fish, do you know, I may have run from God, but God's running after me. That I, no matter how far I go, I can't outrun God. I have a friend that a few years ago was going through a divorce. He was actually part of Margaret and my marriage class. One of my few failures in our marriage class. But he and his wife had been part of our marriage class years ago, but they struggled, and ultimately they were getting divorced. It wasn't his desire, and he says that he remembers the day that his wife served him with those divorce papers, and for him, that was hitting bottom. That was like, took all his life and everything that he'd invested in and was just shaking him. And he said he had such anger and such distress and disappointment and grief, he didn't know what to do. He said he got in his car and he was just driving, but he felt the Spirit kind of, or something, leading him to the church. So he ended up coming by the church and he met one of the pastors there. And there at the church, talking to the pastor and then praying, he said he experienced the Holy Spirit like he'd never experienced before. This is a leader in a church. This is a person who's been a Christian for many years, a person who knows what it is to walk with God. But he said that moment was a moment when he felt closer to God than he'd ever felt in his life. It was really a transformational moment in life when he let go of needing to be in control of this thing he couldn't control, and he let God have control of something that just seemed out of control, and all of a sudden he was able to experience that grace. That's Roman numeral one. Ask for help. Realize you need God. You can never outrun God's grace. This is letter B, the second thing I want you to see in this text, and that is realize that you need grace. First of all, ask for help. Number two, realize you need grace. In verse 5-8, I'll just review real quick. He says, water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the root of the mountain. The earth with its bars was all around me. But you've brought my life up from the pit, O God. Jonah's saying, I was dead, right? I was inside a fish. I was in the bottom of the sea. There were weeds wrapped around my neck. I was dead, right? I was as close to being dead as you can be. There's no way out of this. And Jonah says, I didn't turn to vain idols. I didn't put my hope in some gold statue. When you're in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, a gold statue is not going to help you. It's only going to weigh you down. It's not that nobody says put on your gold life raft. You know, that's not going to help you. And Jonah says, I didn't put my trust in my money. I didn't put my trust in my stuff. I realized I needed God. I needed grace. I needed God's presence and power in my life. I needed God to help me. Nobody could get me out of this. Has there been a moment in your life when you have felt like that? Like I can't fix this. You get to that point. I mean, for most of us, you know, we feel like pretty capable people. And most of the time you ask me, I can tell you, I can handle this. People were asking this morning, Todd, how do you feel about preaching? Are you nervous? I was like, should I be nervous? I asked Brian Green because he's the one that makes me nervous, you know. I was like, Brian, is there anything I should be nervous about, you know? But in myself, I feel pretty confident. I've been doing this a while. You know, I was super nervous in 2003 when I got to Christ Church. But I've been doing this now for a while. I'm confident in myself. If you ask me, you know, how to have a great marriage, I can tell you what it goes into having a great marriage. I'm pretty confident in my marriage. You ask me about being a parent. Now, sometimes that gets shaken now and then. But I feel pretty confident. You ask me about handling finance or whatever. In most areas of life, I feel pretty confident. That's a dangerous place to be. And especially when you're feeling confident about God, confident about your ability to have God or to handle God or to control God or to earn God's love, to deserve God's grace. You never can. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It's the love of God, the salvation of God that we never deserve, that we can never earn. And the best place to receive grace is at the bottom. The belly of a fish, the bottom of a sea, that's the place when you realize, I can't fix this. I can't save myself. I watched all the sailors. These are professional seamen. I watched all the sailors take down the sail and row with all their might to save us. And they gave up. right? They said, we can't do it. God's wind is too strong. We can't fix this. And Jonah says, I can't fix it either. Throw me in the water from the belly of a fish. Have you been there where you say, God, if it's not you, I'm not getting out of this. God, if you don't save me, I can't do this. God, if you don't fix my marriage, it's never going to become what you want it to be. God, if you don't fix this relationship with my kid, I tried. I can't do it. God, if you don't fix this medical situation I'm facing, the doctor did everything they could. We're done. Have you ever been to that place in your life where you say, God, I'm just counting on you. I'm trusting in you. And that doesn't mean that going to a marriage counselor is not necessary, or going to a doctor is not necessary, or going to a financial planner is not necessary. All that's good, but some point in our life, this is going to happen. You're going to be in the belly of the fish where you say, it's not enough. That's a good place to be, because it's there at the bottom that we discover what grace is all about. That happened to me when I was 17 years of age. I was 16, 17 in high school, and I'd kind of given up on life. It's unusual to think of a 17-year-old giving up on life, but if you've been a 17-year-old, you probably know what I'm talking about. And it just felt like, I mean, what's even the point, you know? And through that, just by God's providence, God's hand kind of led me to some people and some places where I heard of God's grace, and I came to the point where I said, God, I don't know why you would love me or if you'd even love me. I don't even know if you're real, but if you are real and you want to have something to do with my life, if you'd come into my life, take control of my life, use my life, I'd give it to you. It's about receiving grace. It's about realizing you can't do this on your own. And when you're at that point is when you realize, no matter how far I've run, I can't outrun my need for God. And I can't outrun God's grace in my life. And so that leads to letter C, the third on your sermon notes. This is receive grace. It's one thing to know about grace. If you've been in church, you probably heard that word, right? If you've been in church, you may even have a bumper sticker or a button that says, I'm lovable, God loves me, something like that. I had those. But it's one thing to know about grace. It's another thing to actually receive grace, accept that new life, accept that forgiveness. You see this in verse 9 and 10. Jonah says, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. And then hear these words. Salvation is from the Lord. Salvation is from the Lord. Receive grace. Receive that salvation. Receive that new life. Receive that forgiveness. Receive that second chance. We've all run. And maybe some of you guys, even this morning, you know you've been running from God. You know you can run from God in church. You can be a preacher or a prophet. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be a small group leader. You can serve on a worship band and be running from God. Some of you guys know a loved one, a son or a daughter, or a mom or a dad, a sibling, a neighbor, that's running from God. And just like Jonah, you see them. They're going down, 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 and you're like. But the good news is that no matter how far we go, we can't outrun God's love. Do you know that? Have you shared that with your neighbor, with your child, with your parent, with your loved one? This isn't a message that you're going to hear in the world, right? Receive grace, right? That's not a message you're going to hear. In the world, we tend to hear, you get what you deserve. And you may even hear that from the people you love most in life. Your spouse may tell you one day, you made your bed, you sleep in it, you know? You get what you deserve. Your boss may say, well, the numbers don't lie. They are what they are. I got to let you go. You get what you deserve, you know? The judge may even say to you, you did the crime, you got to do the time. That's how life works. That's not how the new life works, right? The new life does not work by you get what you deserve. If we get what we deserve, we're all going down and never coming back. But Jonah reminds us of how the new life works. The new life works by grace. Oh, we got ourselves in the belly of the fish. We got ourselves in the bottom of the sea. We're the ones that ran from God, but we can't outrun God's love. And God has brought us back, offered us this new life. If you work real hard, you can earn it. Nope. If you swim real hard, you'll get back. You know, you can make it back to Joppa. No, you never will. If you trust, if you receive, if you accept, God's grace is enough. Have you been there? Have you ever hit bottom? You know what it is to run from God? You know what it is in that midst of that moment where you felt like, I can't do this, to hear God say, I've got you. I'm here with you. Salvation is from the Lord. Have you been to that place where you say, I'm not counting on those vain idols anymore, right? That gold, that silver, it's not going to fix it. Those degrees, that influence I have, I can't do it. But I'm trusting in the Lord. As a pastor for 26 years, I've seen more than a few people run from God. I've had my moments of running from God and God's call, no doubt, in the past couple decades. I've seen more than a few people hit bottom. And I've seen that transformation that happens when we get to the place where we say, God, I tried it my way. I thought I knew best. I was going in my direction. But God, now I want your way. I want your grace. I want your life. That's the main point. You can never outrun God. I'm sure more than a few of us are thinking, Pastor, I'm in church, right? I'm not running from God. I mean, they said the church was open. I came back, right? Or, Pastor, I got up early this morning so I could turn on my computer, my phone, and be part of the church. I'm not running from God. Well, maybe. Maybe that's true. But I've done this long enough to know that you can be in the right place and not be in the right place, right? You can be where you're supposed to be and not be where you're supposed to be. And the good news is that God's grace is there for us, that Christ's love is there for us, that the new life is there for us. Just like I said, ask for help, pursue grace, and receive grace. Let's pray together. Lord God, that's our prayer. All of us know what it is to run. All of us know what it is to hear your call, to go there, and to say, no, I'm going over here. All of us know what it is to have that conviction in our heart of, God wants me to do this, but I'm not ready to let go of that. Most of us, Lord, know what it is to hit bottom. And right now, even this morning, even in church, some of us are right there. Some of us are at the point where we're ready to give up on that marriage. We're ready to give up on that kid. We're ready to give up on that relationship. We're ready to give up on ourselves. And so I pray that right now we might hear the voice of your Holy Spirit crying out to us, that we might know that while we were yet sinners, that Lord Jesus, you died for us, that you demonstrated your own love for us in that, that we will know that no matter how far we've run, we can't outrun your grace. And that right now we might say yes. Lord, I want you. Lord, I want your way. Lord, I want your call. Lord, I want your mission. But most of all, Lord, I just want you. I want you to save me, enter my life, forgive my sin, make me yours. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Salvation is from the Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.